It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for the hour. Today, we're going to have some music. We're also going to have an experimental radio play. We'll have that first. This is from the CBS Radio Workshop, and it's from 1939. It's called, simply, Radio Play.
This is the sixth of the Columbia Workshop Festival broadcasts. Tonight, CBS is happy to present the first specially commissioned work for the series. It is called, simply, Radio Play, and was written by the distinguished young American novelist and playwright William Saroyan, his first venture in the medium of radio. Brewster Morgan will direct the performance.
All right, quiet, please. Quiet, everybody. This is where the play begins. Let's see now. Exactly 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Out in San Francisco, it's only 6 o'clock. Isn't that right, Bill? What we want during the next 30 minutes is a play.
Oh, boy.
Quiet, Harry. Now, we've got no theater, no stage, there's no television yet, so naturally you can't see us, which is just fine. The play will have to be a radio play. We don't mean anything but radio. Not a movie over the radio or not a stage play over the radio. We mean a radio play over the radio. We've allowed a few of our relatives to come to the studio and laugh at us, but they're part of the play, too, so here goes. And now, as the saying is, the curtain rises.
All right. Let's get going.
Quiet, Harry. Now, don't let's get excited. The play is going to be very easy going because that's the way things are in this country. In Vermont, South Carolina, Montana, Texas, California, in any of the states. See, we've got reasons. The play is going to be easy going in case somebody in Oklahoma listening in has got a weak heart and might get excited if we were to shout a good deal, or in case a little boy in Wyoming or a little girl in Tennessee is listening in and might not sleep all night wrestling with some absurd fear planted in his imagination by us about war or storm or crime or famine.
What do you mean?
Harry, what I mean is we're not going to scare the children or anybody else.
Oh.
And another thing we're not going to do is we're not going to go to work and have a wonderful romance go haywire and break 3 million hearts. Our platform is, if you can't make people laugh, don't make them cry. Therefore, during the next half hour, we won't scare the people, worry them, or break their hearts. Let the other boys do that. Mm. We'll have a little innocent fun and see if it gets us anywhere.
Come on, let's get going.
I'll be the announcer. I haven't studied radio announcing. I didn't go to Harvard. I'm not even a Yale man. If I were to mention the school I went to, educated people would bust out laughing, most likely. All it was a little high school. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be overeducated to be able to talk, especially on the radio. See, anybody could be a radio announcer, if you cared to talk that way. I'll just go to work and announce, and ladies and gentlemen, the Columbia Broadcasting System takes pride in presenting... No, I guess that's no good. Too high tone, huh? I'll try again. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all feeling fine and don't hate anybody, so we're going to start out with a little song. None of us can sing, but we thought it would be real pleasant if we did our best. There are 2,000 million people in the world, and not more than 2 or 3 dozen of them can really sing, so why should we feel embarrassed? Or why should you, for that matter? I'm going to ask Hank to lead us in a little singing, and if you feel like singing with us, okay.
Oh, little star, recall how do you do? Hello.
Yeah.
way, see? See, I told you we couldn't sing, but don't forget all them other people in the world that can't sing either. See, we've all got a right to try. It doesn't hurt anybody. Makes you feel good. Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Hello.
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 Right, see, I do a lot of singing that way. I don't suppose I'd last a month in the Metropolitan Opera. I just get a kick out of singing.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all you hear around here, it seems like.
Okay, here we go. Act One. A fable. The Federal Bureau of Investigation doesn't know it yet, but I stole a watermelon once. I ate it, too. I felt bad about that for a week. Wasn't ripe, that's why. I had to eat it, though, because it was too big to carry in my pocket. Now, we're going to make a fable out of this episode, and I'll be the farmer. Harry.
Yeah?
You be me, a small barefoot boy of 10 with a stomach full of unripe watermelon. The scene is a watermelon patch in Georgia, Alabama, California, and Florida. Anywhere over watermelon grove.
All right, Al. I'll be you, and you be the farmer.
Howdy, boy. Would you like a nice watermelon? The market's bad, and I hate to see the watermelons going to waste, rotting on the vines, barefoot boy with cheeks of tan.
What do I say?
Oh, say what you think you ought to say. Let's see if we can carry on a little conversation. Huh?
Okay.
Mr. Jenkins, I already ate one of your watermelons.
Well, son, I'm delighted.
Yeah, but
nothing. You're welcome to any watermelon of mine anytime you feel in the mood.
Yeah, but it wasn't ripe, and I think I've got a stomachache. A stomachache, I think.
Stomachache?
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. Don't you know how to pick out a ripe watermelon?
I didn't have time enough.
Didn't have time enough? Why not? It's early in the day.
Mr. Jenkins, I was scared.
Scared of what or whom?
You.
Me? What in the world were you scared of me for?
I was stealing. I was stealing one of your watermelons, Mr. Jenkins. That's why.
My boy, you just think you were stealing.
I was too stealing, Mr. Jenkins. I came up the road as if I was on my way to my grandma's. All of a sudden, I jumped over the fence, ran to the watermelon patch, stole the first one I came to, and ran back here and ate it. Now I think I've got a stomachache, I think.
How's that, all right?
Yeah, it was fine, Harry. Yeah, it was a very nice little parable you made up, and I think it isn't going to do anybody in the world any harm. Huh? That parable has a very pleasant moral. Don't steal a watermelon. It may be green and give you a stomachache. Farmers are human and markets are bad. Farmers will be glad to help you pick out a nice, ripe watermelon, and they'll be pleased to watch you eat it, because that's what watermelons are for.
Okay, where are we now?
Well, along about this time, I think we better hear a little music. Something new, just composed, never before heard by anybody. Raymond, you're a composer. Let's talk a little about that. Huh?
You want to talk to me?
Sure. There's real drama in how a young fellow like you goes to work and composes a song or a piece of music, something like that. How do you do it?
Well, let's see. How do I do it? I don't know how I do it. I mean...
That's fine. That's all I want to know. Now, let's hear it without any more fuss. It's probably very good. What's the name of it?
Well, it's a love song. It's called, well, it's got a very appropriate title.
Uh-huh.
I call it, well, I'll tell you how the idea happened to come to me. I was sitting in the subway reading the funny paper... Mm-hmm. When the fellow who was holding the paper turned the page and left my mind a total blank. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I began to think.
Uh-huh.
And then I said to myself, Raymond, I says, I think there's a song in that idea somewhere or other. And sure enough.
Yes, sir. Sure enough. And what was the name of it?
Well, you see, so many songs have been written about different places and things. Uh-huh. And I always wanted to write a song about a thing that was... far away from a place.
Uh-huh.
So, and now little Beatrice Kay is going to sing it.
That's nice. And the title?
Well, it's kind of romantic. I call it In a Subway, Far from Ireland.
the subway far from Ireland, I had the strangest ride. For across the aisle there was a lad with a nice lad by his side. I felt so good when he saw the lad he was beside. For now I could and I certainly would become his future bride. I met him, he met me in a subway far from Ireland. Ooh, what a ride. With a nice lad by my side, I told him, he told me, in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away. Far, far away. Rumble, tumble, fumble, humble, thimble went the wheels. Snicker, snacker went the frog. They know not how it feels. I kissed him. He kissed me in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away. Far, far away. I mistook for a lonely nook, a subway far from Ireland. Oh, what a ride, with the nice lad by my side. I asked him, he asked me, does your mother come from Ireland? Far, far away. Far, far away. Rumble, tumble, fumble, humble, thimble went the wheels. Whisper, 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 they knew how it feels. I kissed him, he kissed me in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away.
Wasn't that sweet? And now comes the Department of Education, or no information, thank you. The idea is for me to ask six or seven of the most intelligent people here.
Who's intelligent?
Sam.
Yeah?
Stay away from that cash register. Intelligent people, a few simple questions. You see, you answer them, and if you answer the question correctly, you win.
Oh, boy, here's my chance to put my high school education to work. What's your first question?
Just a minute, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, six of the most intelligent personalities on this floor of the Columbia Broadcasting System building in New York have been brought here at tremendous expense and with the help of ropes, chains, pulleys, levers, and trap doors. For the purpose of answering miscellaneous questions sent in by a schoolgirl in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Now, these six experts are all named Harry. And they're regarded as above average.
Above average in what?
Height, weight, size of hat. What size hat do you wear?
What's the question?
Sam.
Yeah?
I told you to stay away from that cash register. What do you think you're doing?
I'm trying to get my hand out of it. How does this thing work?
What'd you do, get your hand caught in it?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you put your hand in there for in the first place, huh?
I never saw a cash register drawer come out and go back so quick. I just wanted to touch the money.
Excuse me a minute, folks. You better let me get you out of this here. You been to high school?
Yeah. Get my hand out of this, will you?
All right, all right. I'll ring up no sale, and then you draw your hand out real quick. It works faster than the eye. You ready?
Okay.
Well, I'll count to three. One.
Yeah.
Two. Three. There you are, Sam.
Yeah. Now my tie's caught.
All right, again. One. Two. Three. Okay, now? Okay?
Okay, thanks. Gosh, was I scared.
You can't fool these modern conveniences.
What's the question? I got a whole education going to waste over here.
Well, you'll have to come over here. I got to keep my eye on Sam. The question is,
What is it that's white all around and has four windows and never moves?
Is that the question?
It isn't the answer.
Read it again.
Now, listen carefully. Yeah. What is it that has a porch, four numbers by the door, and doesn't talk?
Yeah. Was that the question you read the first time?
Why, yes, of course. Answer it, will you? Now, there's a time limit, you know, 5 minutes. Precious time's going by. Hurry, hurry.
Let's see now. No wheels, smoke doesn't come out, and never worries. The Sphinx?
No.
Am I warm?
Answer the question.
Old Man River?
No.
An airplane?
No.
Deck of cards?
No.
The Pacific Ocean?
No, no, you're guessing.
Well, what is it then?
I'm asking the questions. You're answering.
Well, I give up. What is it?
Well, let's see. It doesn't say.
What was the question again?
All right, once more, but that's all. Now listen carefully. What is it that stays in one place all the time and never does anything unless it catches on fire or is torn down? And where, if you live there and write letters to people, letters come to you?
Sally Rand.
Oh, you're thinking of something else.
No, I'm not. Isn't it Sally Rand?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, though.
Sure it is. Sally Rand. That's the answer. Honest it is, Al.
Well, all right, but it doesn't seem exactly right.
It is. Honest it is.
Okay, ring the cash register, Sam. Did you get the money for Harry?
I'd like to see anybody get anything out of this cash register.
Oh, now, look, let's all work together. I'll ring no sale, and then when the drawer comes out, you and Harry grab it and hold it open, and I'll get the money.
I'll do my best.
Whoop, missed it that time. Try it again. Well, try harder, will you?
Come on now, you. Don't try to chip me. Give me my money.
All right, now, take it easy now, Harry. You answer the question, you're going to get your money. First, we've got to hold the drawer out.
And look out for your fingers.
I got it. Oh! Get my hand out of here.
I see.
Oh, boy. Say, Harry, I'll have to owe you the money.
Nothing doing. I answered the question, Sally Rand, and I want my money.
All right, get your own money out of the cash register.
All right, I will. Can't scare me. No!
Okay, Sam, get his hand out of there. Now, are you satisfied?
I want my money.
Second question.
I won't talk.
Oh, come on now, Harry, don't be that way. What is it that has bad manners and is very fat?
How many eyes?
Three. Two.
Two,
same as all of us.
Can it move?
Yeah, sure, if it isn't dead.
A tiger.
Tigers aren't bad.
They got bad manners.
No, not necessarily. That isn't the answer.
What's the question again?
Who was it that made a mistake and came to America in 1492?
Bad manners and fat. Are you sure it was 1492?
What says here?
Who is this girl in Altoona, Pennsylvania, anyway?
Right.
Did I answer it?
You did. Oh! And now the scene changes about here, I believe. Yeah, and everybody gets serious, especially me. There's an old saying that a stitch in time saves nine, but a message of this sort we may very well suppose can be taken with a grain of salt. We're not saying that the present administration should discontinue spending. We are saying that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. The ancient Arabs believed in thrift. Thrift was part and parcel of the scheme of the British Empire from 1787, I believe, to 1918 or so. War is an ugly thing. We don't want it. Peace is a wonderful thing. We do want it. Can we hope for any solution for everything if the money goes and goes and keeps going?
Al, what do you think you're doing?
Oh, gee, thanks, Harry. I got a little carried away there, I guess. What I mean is, don't you see, and so forth, and of course, that way, happiness for all.
Al, this is supposed to be a play even children can understand. How can anybody understand that kind of talk?
Well, why should anybody understand me talking that way when they haven't understood anybody else talking that way over the radio in the last 10 years? I just want them to know what that kind of talk amounts to. I mean, nothing. I want the children to know.
Yeah, well, let's imagine they found out and go ahead and sell something.
Well, we haven't got anything to sell.
Well, let's sell something anyway. Who wants to sell something? Yeah, Hank, get in there and sell something.
Oh, me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's see. ladies and gentlemen, if you've got some extra money and feel like buying something or other, go ahead and buy it, and we hope you enjoy it. Buy anything you feel like buying. You know how much money you've got and how much you can spare and what you need most and what you like most, so we don't need to tell you what to get. Almost everything they're selling is very good. And if we had a little extra money ourselves, we'd go right out and buy us a little something or other.
Columbia Broadcasting may not like that kind of talk, Hank.
Why, they'll be crazy about it.
The advertisers may not like it.
The advertisers know they can't fool the people. What's more, they don't want to. We say, buy what you want to buy. The advertisers say the same thing.
I don't know. This doesn't sound like a play to me. It hasn't got any plot.
No plot?
No.
No plot. Why, Harry, this is all plot. I was born in 1908, and here I am still alive. You were born some year or other, and here you are. Every man in the world was born, and there they are. 2,000 million of them. Why, it's the only plot. We've got a great little drama here.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell him she loves him.
Now, wait a minute. Boys, now let me take care of that. Here, Alex.
Yeah?
How are you, honey?
I'm fine, Al. How are you?
Alice, do you suppose you could tell Willie over there that you love him so that we could get a little love interest in here somewhere?
Willie?
That's fine. All right, Willie, come on over here and listen to Alice telling you.
Yeah, but I really am in love with Alice.
Well, so much the better. Then here's your chance to convey the message to her.
Convey it? I've been conveying it 2 or 3 months now. Do you think she cares?
Alice, don't you?
Well, I'm kind of in love with somebody else.
You see?
Now, Alice, don't be headstrong. Willie's a perfectly nice boy.
He isn't romantic.
Oh, I am too romantic. I've seen all the movies, and I know just how to behave in a romance.
Well, you're not romantic enough.
Oh, yeah? Well, who was it pointed out the moon to you the other night?
That moon was no bigger than a slice of watermelon.
Well, what do you want me to do, control the seasons? It was the only moon there was at the time, and I pointed it out to you, remember? Remember how I held your hand and said, look, Alice, the moon?
Yeah, I remember. Remember how I said, let's go to a show or a nightclub or a movie or something? And you said how much money you got.
Well, I was broke. All I had was 27 cents. It wasn't my fault. The trouble with you, Alice...
All right, now, Alice, you go right ahead now and tell Willie you love him.
Okay, but it's an exaggeration.
Now, Alice, people are listening.
Okay. Willie, I love you.
No, that'll never do. You know very well that you can do better than that. Now, try again.
Willie, I love you.
Doesn't have the ring of truth. It sounds like a hollow mockery to me.
You see, Al...
Just a minute, Harry. I'll get this romance on its feet. Now, once again, Alice...
This is Maximum. Willie, I love you.
Alice!
Tell him some more, Alice.
Willie, I love you.
I love you too, Alice.
See, he takes advantage of the situation.
Well, that was all right. That was all right. Sure, it was enough to give everybody an idea. That's all we wanted to do, just give him an idea.
Now, you see, Al, Willie's the kind
of
boy...
That's all, Alice. Now, you can go back to the orchestra leader now.
But, I mean, he has...
She's selfish, don't you see?
That's all, Willie. All we want to do is to give him an idea. Now, you go on
back... Who's selfish?
Now, Alice, you know I love you, but you know you are selfish.
Now, listen
and
here, you...
You two, please stop this argument and argue somewhere else. All I wanted to do is to give the people an idea how wonderful love is. Now, let's do something super.
Super? What do you mean, super?
Well, all right, then, ordinary. Gosh, can't a fella have a little fun, throw in a few big words around here once in a while?
Yeah.
This isn't going to be super exactly, but what's the harm in saying it as everybody else does?
Yeah, but look, Al, we've only got 5 minutes to go.
So what? 5 minutes is a long time. We got nothing to do.
Yeah, but what'll people think?
What do you mean?
I mean, all we've got is 5 minutes to go, and so far, nothing's happened.
Does something have to happen?
Well, something usually does in a play.
Yeah, but what kind of a play? Some little unimportant saga of some kind.
People won't like a play like this when nothing happens.
Don't worry about people. Just leave them alone. Don't always be moving in on them with some old army game. Now, the program's going to get high-toned now. We're going to have some opera.
Oh, boy.
I'm so and so lonesome. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah. I'm so discontented. I'm so tired and spent. Blue, 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 blue. I'm so dreary, blue, 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 blue.
What do you say, Al? Swing right in.
Wait a minute, boys. We haven't got time. Only a minute and a half left. I tell you what, let's do. We'll dedicate a minute of silence, a whole minute of dead air, to music lovers everywhere.
Hello. Morgan speaking. Yeah. Well, it's a fine time to call up. We're having a 1 minute silence. I said we're having a 1 minute silence. Well, then lower your voice. Or the actors. Well, the announcer is Orth Bell. Harry's John Gibson. Sam is Joe Latham. Alice is Mitzi Gould. Willie's Everett Sloan. Raymond Scott composed the music and conducted it. No, he doesn't talk like that. He won't talk at all. That was an actor talking for him. Hank Ladd. I said Hank Ladd. See here, I can't tell you this. I can't tell you the story of the play now. I don't know this story. I'm only the director.
All right, our 1 minute of silence is up. Ladies and gentlemen, radio play written especially for the Columbia Workshop by William Saroyan is now over. Thank you for listening.
Bruce DeMorgan directed tonight's performance. We regret that Jerry Colonna, announced last week to take part in the broadcast tonight, was unable to do so because of an unexpected call to Hollywood. Next week at this time, Martin Gosch will direct a revival of Wilbur Daniel Steele's A Drink of Water, which was adapted from the story of the same name by Max Wiley. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From 1939, that is radio play, and it's commissioned just for that production. So we had an interesting little listen there to something unusual. Now we're going to have some music. This is from Command Performance, and it's from 1943. Now, Command Performance was a program that the Armed Forces Radio and Television, well, it's the Armed Forces Radio Service had for soldiers and sailors to listen to back during World War II, and in fact, they're still on the air today. Available via satellite, not running old-time radio shows anymore, but still bringing the home to soldiers all over the world. Well, this is a music program, and it features Fred McMurray, Alice Faye, Skinny Innes, Phil Harris and Jerry Colonna, so there's a lot going on here.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. Okay there, mister, slip us the dice and we'll shoot the works on our lucky number four, the four branches of the AEF. And tonight, the Galloping Dominoes are really loaded with a star at every turn of the dice to answer the commands you send to Command Performance, care of Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. So gather around that international circle, and we'll start rolling with a fellow who's rolled up more than his share of your favorite pictures, a swell actor and a swell guy, old Mr. Box Office himself, Fred McMurray.
Thanks, Ken Carpenter, and hello, fellas. Yes, sir, this joint is really star happy tonight. You all know that lingo of ours, for Sad Sam at APO 846, Dixie Gay and the Mint Julep Mob at APO 947, and so on. Well, there's so much doing tonight, we won't have time to say APO. It'll just have to be cut down to AP. We've got three famous band leaders, and the glamour section and Joe Miller department are ding how too. But let's drive it in the hangar and take off on the double time. For Jimmy Regan and Joe Meager with the oldest Army Air Force unit overseas, for Pete Monk, Waddy in Sweden and Alaska, for Scotty Jock Scott flying for Britain in the Middle East, for Tech Sarge Green at 922, and Shadney and Gaffney Flats at 953, for the Gobs in Iceland and the Hypo Happy crew at 862, here's one of the hottest outfits this side of the equator. It's a sensational arrangement of Don't Get Around Much Anymore by the whole band of Jimmy Lunsford. Well, Command Performance has a letter here from the engineers at 875. It says, give us a fireside chat by the president, a running chatter by Walter Winchell, and good old Skinny Ennis singing Got You Under My Skin. Well, that offers a slight casting problem, fellas. We're good for a third of the trio, which ought to please Rosemarie Martin of 43 St. Paul's Road in London, who says, I'm just wild about that great big hunk of man, Skinny Ennis. Well, here he is, G.I. from head to foot, 6 foot one of lean, raw bone, fighting corpuscle, Master Sergeant Skinny Ennis.
Thank you. Hiya, fellas. Hello, Fred.
How are you, Skinny? Say, you certainly look mighty fine in that uniform.
I'm mighty proud to be in it, Fred. Man, I'm so proud I'd pop the buttons on my chest if I had any.
What, buttons?
No, chest.
Oh. Well, Skinny, whatever it is, you look mighty fit to me.
Well, maybe now, but you should have seen me when we went up to take my physical.
Yeah, what happened?
I stripped to the waist. The doctor took one look at me and said, praise the Lord and pass the malnutrition.
Well, that wasn't the whole examination, was it, Skinny?
Oh, no, sir. Then the doctor had me inhale.
Yeah?
Then he had me exhale.
Then what?
That's all, brother. With me, that's a full day's work.
Now, speaking of work, Skinny, that Command Performance mail says, Skinny Ennis singing I've Got You Under My Skin.
Cutting the song. I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I've tried so not to give in. I said to myself this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear, don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.
Thank you, and good luck, Skinny Ennis. At APO 938, 1JB in Signal Service Company joined with the men at Iran and the WACS in Egypt, the Marines southeast of Hilo, and the CBI contingent, and hundreds of you from Port Moresby to Port of Spain, to ask for a star who holds the key to 100 million memories from New York to the Golden Gate. All of you know the song, My Blue Heaven. In fact, some 35 million records and copies are still kicking around your homes in the USA. And Melancholy Baby and After You've Gone, I guess you'll never forget them either. Well, here's the fellow who's responsible. Singing them again for the AEF, Command Performance presents Gene Austin.
When whippoorwills call and evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. A little white light and then you turn to the right will lead you to my blue heaven. You'll see a smiling face, a fireplace, a cozy room, a little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't feel blue. All your fears are foolish fancies, maybe. Baby,
Why, you know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Every cloud must have a silver lining. So wait until the sun shines through. Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear. Or else I shall be melancholy too. Now after you've gone away, left me crying. After you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel bad, you'll feel sad. You'll miss the best old pals you've ever had. There'll come a time, don't forget it. There'll come a time when you regret it. Oh baby, just think what you're doing. My love for you is gonna drive me to ruin. After you've gone, after you've gone away. After you've gone away and left me crying. After you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel bad, you'll feel sad. There'll come a time, don't forget it. There'll come a time when you regret it. Oh baby, just think what you're doing. My love for you is gonna drive me to ruin. After you've gone, after you've gone away.
That was mighty comfortable. And thanks, Gene Austin. Now, here's a letter from three Marines. Don McKeon, Harry Lefevre, and Lou Lair. By the way, Lou's no relation to monkeys is the craziest people, Lair. It says, Dear Command Performance, we're three guys from New York, and we'd like to hear something that'll thrill New York boys all over the world. Please give us the sound of a Bronx mother leaning out of her fifth-story window and yelling for little Junior to come in for chow. B. Benaderet, will you handle this one, please? Now, it's high noon in the Bronx, and from a window 5 stories up, we hear...
Hi, me. Hi, Millie. Come upstairs, darling. Huh? You're playing soldiers. Fighting Nazis, that's good. That's good, Jaime. But on an empty stomach, you're fighting. Jaime, listen, Tootsie. Gives a nice lunch. Manita herring, cream cheese, a little lox maybe, and fresh bagels. Come on, darling, come on. Oh, such a fine boy, Jaime. Fighting Nazis just like his papa.
Well, anything can happen on command performance, and just did. Thanks a lot, B. Benaderet. Now, right here, we're telling PFC, Don Garrett, and the gang at 927 that we're hep to old 927. And we're calling Corporal Carr at 962, Sergeant Judlin and the service group at 762, and Corporal Dick Muren and 500 juggle mutters, that is, who ride on one letterhead, first to conserve paper, second to complain of the iguanas chewing their shoestrings, and third to request a certain curly-headed singer and band leader. I asked Jack Benny about this lad, and he said, and Jack said, strictly corn, but with ham being what it is, who's going to knock corn? Call for Philip Harry.
Thank you, thank you. Hiya, Jackson, give me some skin. Glad to see you, MacArthur, glad to see you.
Yeah, glad to see you too, it says here. But you know, Phil... I haven't seen you around lately.
No, I've been out on a tour with a band. You know, one-night stands. I've been brainstorming around the country.
Well, fellas, I can put a stop to this in a hurry. I'll invite the guy to sing. Answering many thousands of requests, it's Phil Harris singing That's What I Like About the South.
Pour on the coal.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistake. Where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste that layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams. Those sugar-cured Virginia hams. Basement full of those berry jams. And that's what I like about the South. Hot corn bread with the black-eyed peas. You can go with it as you please. Cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Don't take one, have two. They're dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. It's That's the way way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, cause that's what I like about the South. It's down where they have those pretty queens to keep a dreaming, those dreamy dreams where let's sip that absinthe to New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Here come old Bob with all the news. Got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his Eagles dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street. Who can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat, and that's what I like about the South. I didn't come here to criticize, I'm not here to sympathize, but don't tell me those no good lies, cause the lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you, send me 50, PDQ, rose are red and violets are pink, I'm gonna get my 50, I don't think. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake that head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do-I-Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty. Well, Do-I-Diddy. I didn't come here to criticize, I'm not here to sympathize, but don't tell me those no good lies, cause the lying gal I do despise. She got ham hocks and butter beans, turnip greens and New Orleans, you and me and in-betweens, and that's what I like about the sound.
Thanks, Phil Harris. Stick around now. We'll need you in the second floor show. At AP046, Sarge Doug Bailey and the Red Lakes say, by the horns of Babe, the great blue ox, I've heard nearly everything on command performance. Sound of billy goats, baby cries, and mixing bourbon and sodas. But a lot of GI characters from the state of Washington and I would like to hear that famous sound of our good old home state, the yell of timber. Okay, Bailey, here's a real Douglas Pine lumberjack with a big fur mustache. Now get a load of this. Jerry Colonna, welcome to Command Performance. Professor, I understand you're going to sing a classic for us tonight. Did you ever study voice?
Ah, yes, I studied under the maestro at Carnegie Hall, under the professor at Juilliard, and under the concertmeister at the Metropolitan.
Uh-huh. Where did you learn the most?
Under the runway at Nitschke's.
Tell me, Professor, have you ever dabbled in opera?
Ah, yes, I once played the Toreador in Carmen. Never shall I forget it. The bull rushed in, he lunged at me, then I lunged at him.
Yes? What happened?
We had lunch together.
Professor, you drive me frantic.
Oh, no, you drive me. I haven't got a driver's license.
Well, maybe we'd better get on with your classic. How are you going to sing it?
Well, I'll either sing it Andante Cantabile Rondo Capriccioso or Allegro con moto.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
With Allegro con moto, you get a side order of meatballs.
I'll take that. And fellows, knowing that you can take it, here's Jerry Colonna at your command singing one of the great classics of all time. Hector, the garbage collector.
There's a song about Sam, accordion man, and a song about Mary Lou. There's a song about Ida, sweet as apple cider, and one sweet song about Sue. There is a piccolo player, a peanut purveyor, and a gigolo melody. But something is wrong. We should have a song about one who's a wonder to me. Is a Hector, the garbage collector, a man who was misunderstood. He seems to be glad when everything's bad, for then his collections are good. with business as rotten as ever. You never complain like the rest. So fill up your can for the scavenger man. With garbage he'll feather his nest. The longer we stall, then the stronger the haul that Hector must make the next day. So stick out your can for the scavenger man. Have you any old potato peel? I know how an old tomato feels. Here comes Hector, the garbage man.
Thank you, Jerry Colonna. And now, fellas...
Say, Jackson.
What is it, Phil?
Say, who's that blonde over there?
Where?
Right over there. There's a gorgeous doll standing over there, man, with a terrific figure.
Doll?
Yeah.
Phil, are you crazy? That's Alice Faye, your wife.
No kidding. Say, I ought to spend more time around the house.
I heard that, Phil.
Well, look, honey, I was only kidding. You know, I was only kidding with you because, after all, you know how I am. I'm kind of a little absent-minded at times.
Sure, Alice. Phil was all wrapped up in his own thoughts.
It's a wonder he didn't catch his death of cold.
She's a great little kid, the little woman. She's lovely.
Yeah.
Really, Alice, Phil didn't mean anything.
Oh, I know it, Fred. Besides, I couldn't stay angry with Phil for very long. Especially when I see him taking care of little Alice Jr.
You mean Phil can really...
Uh-huh, I mean he really can.
That's me, Jackson, triple play. They call me Triple Play Harris, from Junior to Daddy to Didi Wash.
Sing, Alice.
Okay, boys. Fellows, this song is for all of you. And especially for the gang on a torpedo boat somewhere west of San Francisco. Their names are Fitz, Leadline, Dunny, Shadrach, Bilgerap, Chick, Hank, Shotgun, and the Skipper. From the picture, Hello Frisco, Hello, the song You'll Never Know.
You'll never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, for haven't I told you so? A million no more times you went away, and my heart went with you. I speak your name in my every prayer. If there is some other way to prove that I love you, I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know now. I miss you. I speak your name in my every prayer. There is some other way to prove that I love you. I swear I don't know how. You'll never know if you don't know.
Thanks, Alice Faye. And backing up over the half hour, another load of thanks to Jimmy Lunsford, Phil Harris, Jerry Colonna, Master Sergeant Skinny Ennis, Gene Austin, and B. Benaderet. And from where I sit, it looks like command performance is rounding the far turn, running neck and neck with old man time. And being as how we've got to nose the old boy out, we're sprinting down the home stretch to the finish line. But we'll be pulling up to the International Post again next week, wearing those red, white, and blue colors of yours. And if you're hanging around the $2 window, how's about putting a little dough on us to come through with your favorite stars? This is Fred McMurray saying thanks to the AEF and wishing you the best of the best from the USA. So long, fellas.
This is Ken Carpenter locking up for the night and taking a final look around the premises to note that command performance is arranged through the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee and produced for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.
That's it for now. I hope you can join us next time for some more great old-time radio. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.